KFKA and the Colorado Inn present Rams Weekly. Here's Brady Hull, Kevin Lytle, and Chris Abshire.
Welcome into Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. I'm Brady Hull. We got Chris Abshire, Kevin Lytle in studio. Kind of a short version of the show today. We've got pregame coverage coming up with Jerry Schimmel as the UNC Bears play host to Eastern Washington at Bank of Colorado Arena. That should be an interesting game, a big test for the Bears coming up. So we're looking forward to handing it off to Jerry. Last night, it was a rough go for the CSU Rams in overtime, but man, I thought they were going to get it done.
The Rams worked overtime. We're working undertime?
Yes.
Is that what it is today?
Yeah, I think so.
It's good. I need a nap. It was a late night last night.
It was a late night.
This morning.
Another overtime game. But I still think that we talked a little bit about this earlier, Kevin. You pair that game, which was certainly winnable for CSU, and then the UNLV game. It does feel like maybe things aren't as bad as we thought they were after that Air Force game. Things feel a little bit better.
Yeah, the big picture view, if you're a CSU fan, you have to be happy with where this team is at over the last week. You know, because last night's game, I mean, very winnable. You know, this was a classic basketball type of game where one or two calls, one or two things go the other way. CSU wins, and we're talking about, you know, how they've completely turned around. They're doing a lot of the things you need to do to be, you know, highly competitive. We saw that, you know, in each of the last two games. And again, each, you know, the UNLV game, you had those crazy shots go CSU's way.
Yeah.
Last night, yeah, a couple things go the opposite way to lose in overtime. But if CSU keeps playing like this, especially with the defensive effort they're putting in, they're going to end up fine and having a pretty, you know, decent season, I think. This, you know, these two games are sort of the blueprint of what they need.
You know, I think after the Air Force game, yeah, it was a very all hope is lost kind of attitude.
Yeah.
I think even looking toward, you know, March, things like that, Mountain West tournament, no one had any confidence. Even with last night's loss, not being able to hold on for that win. Yeah, what we've seen over the last week, it gives you confidence that says, hey, even if this team can't work its way back into the regular season mix for, you know, say a bye in the Mountain West tournament, which very unlikely at this point, you have confidence to say, you know, they can get better through the season, try to get ready to make some noise when it's going to count in March.
When you look at the rest of this conference and you look at how they battled against San Diego State and how they beat UNLV, maybe this is a conference setup this year for some upsets coming up in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking ahead to the tournament, I mean, we've already seen this league, they're good teams at the top, of course, but the bottom is so much better than it's been in a long time. San Jose State is legitimately solid. Air Force is, you know, pretty decent. I think it's pretty clear that almost every team on a given night can beat pretty much any other team in this league. So right now it looks like we're set for a really good tournament, and we're probably going to have, you know, right now Mountain West has like four teams in true NCAA tournament contention. Probably at least a couple of them will be very firmly on the bubble heading into Vegas. And so that just ramps up, you know, intensity and interest in that tournament even more. So it's setting up to be really fun.
I think there were a couple great points you made there, Kevin, because, you know, CSU fans, they probably didn't pay attention to Air Force, but they won two games in a row after beating CSU. You know, they're not a complete scrub out there, right in the middle of the pack in the conference. And then, yeah, you know, if we're looking way ahead at this point, you know, big picture, CSU is going to go into March not having any pressure on them. They're not going to have the bubble pressure on them. They're not going to have the, you know, obviously they have the pressure to win the tournament if they want to, you know, go dancing. But, I mean, this is a team that the rest of the year can really kind of play pretty freely, you know, with some of the early season goals maybe a little bit off the table at this point. They can figure it out, you know, and teams often play a little bit better when they get that weight off their back.
Yeah. If you want just to know how deep this conference is, currently the team second from bottom is 12-6 overall, and it's a UNLV team that some consider, you know, at least a fringe bubble team.
Yeah.
And they're 1-5 in the league because they've had a pretty brutal schedule to start it. UNLV is not going to finish second bottom, but that just speaks to what this league has right now. A lot of depth. And your bottom team right now is a team most people pick to win the league. Now, obviously, that's Wyoming. They've had a lot of stuff they've dealt with. We'll talk about that more later. But this league, I mean, having San Jose and Air Force make pretty massive jumps like they have has really put this league in an awesome place.
Which I think bodes so well for CSU at this point, knowing that, okay, the Mountain West isn't what we thought it was going to be necessarily. Certain teams are up, certain teams are down, and that doesn't mean that they're bad necessarily. It just means that this is going to open up to be perhaps one of the craziest tournaments we've seen in a while.
Yeah, I hope so. It should be really, really good.
Let's talk about Isaiah Stevens. 16 points, 11 assists for him. He was, I mean, he was sensational again. I mean, he was 1 for 7 for from the 3-point line. But outside of that, he just continues to put it up there. How many more assists does he have to go, Kevin?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, the surge he's made. So, yeah, with 11 against San Diego State, he's at 529 career assists, which is one behind Ryan Yoder.
Wow.
For the career record. Two, obviously, from Breakant. So he should do that Saturday in Laramie against Wyoming. And, you know, we've known he would get to this point. But now that he's here, you know, it's pretty impressive to watch. And it's cool that's happening while Isaiah's playing, you know, arguably the best basketball of his career, which is a pretty high water mark.
Absolutely. Quick shout out to Ryan Yoder. He's got his Resurrection Christian team
in the top
five in 4A right now. So on a big winning streak. But yeah, I think, you know, when you think of Isaiah Stevens, I mean, Kevin's used these terms, and I agree with them. I mean, savant, magician out there. I mean, he sees the court so well. Last night, I mean, you know, San Diego State's so long, so lanky defensively. They're really sound, too, in what they do. There's not a lot of open lanes to have 11 assists against a team of that caliber. Mm. I mean, that just kind of shows what level he's at
right now. That's the type of team that he supposedly is going to struggle against because he is undersized as far as basketball terms. Yeah, basically 6 foot. Did not. He just sees lanes that just aren't there to most people.
Man, he's playing so many minutes, too. I mean,
yeah, another 43, yeah. 44. Actually, I think it's 44 last night. I think he had like 28 seconds he didn't play in the game.
That's insane.
He's been over 40 each of the last three games because CSU's gone to overtime each of the last three. So he's at some like 125 minutes or more in the last three games. So he is carrying a huge workload.
Yeah, and this coming from a guy maybe we thought we didn't know when he was going to play originally. When we first heard about the injury, you're wondering, is that going to be January? Is that going to be later? And he's been rolling now for several weeks, so it's been good to see Isaiah Stevens back in. But yeah, when he's healthy, Nico Medved's going to lean on him all the way.
Yeah, I mean, he is put as much weight as you can, and you know he wants it too. That's another thing. He embraces that role of being, you know, the big dog, the leader of a team. You know, we kind of joked about early in the season, you know, some, I guess, casual fans will call it and say, well, I guess it's Isaiah Stevens' team now that's David Roddy's gone. It's like, it was always Isaiah Stevens' team. Yeah, he shared it with David Roddy, but that guy's always been, you know, kind of the locker room leader.
Yeah, even when you talked about Roddy and everything that he was doing last year, you still, if you had a sentence about Roddy, Isaiah Stevens was typically in that sentence.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, David Roddy's sensational, and then, of course, Isaiah Stevens. So you're right. It was a two-headed monster. Roddy got all the attention because, you know, again, just his body.
Draft pick.
And his body type. Well, just last year leading into it. His body type and everything.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's more, if you're a very casual basketball fan, Roddy's brilliance is probably just more obvious because it's more physical. Whereas Stevens, you don't have to be brilliant to figure it out, but it's a little more nuanced.
Yeah. Do you guys think that with Isaiah, the tough part with Isaiah is going to be, because Roddy was kind of something different, you know, just a different style of player with his body type. How many times did we hear
he's
that
he's one
played
of the most unique players ever,
Yeah, and Isaiah, it's not that he's not unique, but there are a lot of guards in the, I mean, that's what the NBA looks for, is guards that can move like Isaiah does. So I wonder how much that maybe hurts his chances, among a few things, to get drafted or to just to make it into the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, size is hard to overcome. You look at the size of some of these point guards in the NBA, it's crazy. These are big dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a big hurdle. And Isaiah is 100% a pro. I think he probably has a great overseas career, probably not in the NBA. I'm not going to bet against the kid, though. I mean, he makes everything happen. Any challenge he faces, he meets. So you don't know for sure. And who knows when. I'm sure as we get later in the year, we'll talk a little bit more about the fifth-year decision that has not been made or even really discussed. But one way or another, that guy's going to be a pro, and then he's going to be a coach, and he's going to be in the game a long time one way or another.
I mean, yeah, at this point, when you think of NBA guards that are at the, you know, 6 foot, 6'1" range, I mean, really, it's like, what, Chris Paul?
Yeah.
And that obviously is kind of his comp, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the comp, but even then, Chris Paul was a, I think, a number five draft pick. I mean, he was, you know, he was a lottery pick. Isaiah's not going to be that. Now, obviously, the hope is that, hey, if he can harness, you know, some of that wizardry he has out there at point guard, maybe, you know, he can be a poor man's version of that. You know, but again, I'm with Kevin there. I think Isaiah is eventually going to get some minutes in the NBA. I would not bet against him being able to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not about to be the motivation. So when he's a five-time NBA All-Star, he's like, well, you know, I was listening to Rams Weekly my senior year, and these clowns I wouldn't do it. So I'm not going to be that guy.
No, and he does look there's a lot of games, especially the last night's game, and then the UNLV game, he looks the part. Some of the shots that he's making, not the semi half court shot that he make, but the other
shots. He
probably
shots. Won't shoot a ton of those.
Yeah, those are like those aren't regular shots. But the game winning shot that he had, that kind of stuff, the way he was playing defense in that game, he looked the part of an NBA guard.
Yeah, and what he does do, he understands space really, really well, which obviously is important anywhere, but especially in the NBA, where space is hard to come by because everyone's gigantic.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's
his IQ is his best weapon to, you know, vault his pro level higher.
To kind of offset some of the, you know, more physical limitations he might face. Now, you say, you know, obviously space is at a premium in the NBA because these guys are so big, but the way they play ball in the NBA, I think, could be suited to, you know, his passing acumen, the way he sees the floor. I think there's some, you know, tug and pull on pros and cons of the NBA game for the way he plays.
Oh, no, I think it'll be interesting to see what he does the rest of this year. And then, of course, does he stay? And we'll talk, as you say, Kevin, we'll talk more about that as we kind of get into it later into the season and see what happens. Chris brought up a great point last week, though. It's like, maybe this would be good if they're good, but they're not quite there. And maybe Isaiah has this sense of unfinished business. Certainly, if they end up being just bad the rest of the way, then you might go, is that going to get much better? But if they're close to it, who knows?
This is not to take away anything from CSU's season last year, but I think some Rams fans might forget. They did not win a championship of any kind last year. Mm. And to a guy like Isaiah Stevens, that can be a motivating factor to say, hey, you know, if all things are even, I want to prove I can win my school a championship.
He would not mind hanging a banner, I'm sure of that.
Absolutely.
Well, it was an interesting night for sure. I mean, it felt like CSU, they had the lead in the first half. San Diego State, as we talked about earlier, they didn't come out on fire in that second half either. So you were surely saying, man, this if CSU could just hang on to this thing, they could pull this win off and they would have two pretty big Mountain West Conference wins. But, of course, San Diego State makes their comeback. They force overtime, and they got the dub.
Yeah, it was a weird game. You know, in some ways really sloppy, but I also think really entertaining. And, yeah, you know, San Diego State, last 4:22 of the first half didn't score a field goal, and then about the same 4:25 or something like that in the second half didn't score a field goal. I think, you know, the bummer for CSU was, you know, in that time, especially in the second half, CSU only scored 3 points. They didn't really grow the lead, and then San Diego State started forcing turnovers and really flipped the game.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about Colorado State coming up. What's on the docket for them next, and the next few games, next couple of road tests for Colorado State. This is Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Kevin Lytle, Chris Abshire joining me as we team up with the Colorado on each and every Thursday for Rams Weekly. Fun shows. I mean, this basketball team, maybe we thought they'd be a touch better, but at least the last week, where I think if you're moving the meter, we're a little more positive this week than last week.
They also haven't been boring at all.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, three straight overtimes. I meant to look it up. It kind of forgot when I was finishing my story at 1:30 a.m., but I can't imagine it's been a long time, if ever, played three straight overtimes.
I think CSU's basketball account tweeted last night that it was the 2004-05 season was the last.
Wow.
to say, it's got to be at least like a decade, if not more, I figure.
That's insane. Well, Colorado State, they don't have to travel far, but it's still a road game. They're heading up north for an afternoon game coming up this Saturday. That'll be on FS1, nationally televised there. This game, I think at the beginning of the season, we circled it. Oh, man, Wyoming's probably going to be
DK
at the top.
Maldonado.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
The CSU's going to be probably flirting with that third, second, maybe fourth spot, whatever. But no, Wyoming is 0-6 in the conference, dead last with CSU at 2-5, maybe on the upward trajectory. And Wyoming has had a lot of issues. You mentioned one of them with Graham Ike. I don't know. Is he coming back? I mean,
so obviously I don't have any inside info. I just follow the reporters who do a great job up there. But it sure seems like there are not updates coming. You know, at one point he was expected to kind of be back for a start. Mountain West play was out of his boot. And now he's in the boot, not playing. And you kind of wonder, we're getting pretty late. Like, is there a point where you just say, you know, let's see if we can't circle back and, you know, maybe come back next year? But it's a long time, and obviously, you know, it's a whatever foot or something issue. I guess they haven't said specifically, but that's a big man. A lot of, you know, stress goes on your lower body parts. That's tough to do. That's worrisome. I hope, you know, just for a kid, everything I've heard about Graham Ike is he's a nice, likable guy. You feel bad, you know, kind of like we did with Isaiah. Like, yeah, it sucked for the basketball, but just for the person, you feel bad. Feel the same for Graham Ike, whether it's later this year or next year, whenever, hopefully he can come back and play to his level, because he's obviously a phenomenal player.
Again, no inside info here, but I mean, you can just kind of deduce it a little bit. If Wyoming was 3-3 or middle of the pack in the Mountain West, I think there's a different calculus on if he'd return. But, you know, they're 0-6 right now. I mean, you know, there's potential for them to be, you know, in the 1-8, 1-9 range. At that point, yeah, I think you look more toward the future than say, why would we mortgage this year, you know, his stock this year, whether you're talking about pro stock or being able to return for another year. I think at this point, yeah, I mean, for Wyoming, it might just make more sense to, you know, try to aim for next year for him.
Isn't it interesting what a difference a year makes? This time last year, we're talking about both Nico Medved and Jeff Linder. Are they going to be there for long? I mean, are they going to get other jobs coming out? Because they're both going to be probably going to be March Madness teams, all that, and they have their stars. And here we are. And it's not to say that the coaches are any worse in bad situations, but we're not talking about Jeff Linder and Nico Medved getting a job, a new job after this season.
Yeah, it's funny. It just shows how unpredictable college sports can be for so many reasons. Obviously, a lot was out of these coaches' hands as to why their seasons have gone south, but it just speaks to how just wild college basketball can be.
And I do think there's a kind of a difference in their situations right now where I think Nico Medved and CSU are in a position to, you know, the next few years really bounce back in a bigger way. I think that's going to be more difficult for Wyoming. I think Linder's stock might have been at an all-time high.
Yeah.
So it is going to be, you know, we're talking really big picture, but, you know, Maldonado's going to be gone. EK, obviously, who knows? It's hard, in a lot of ways, hard to predict. You know, they got a couple transfers everyone's all excited about from USC and UCLA. They've been disappointing. You know, not that they're not recruiting. I'm sure they have, you know, good players coming too, but you're going to see big changes, I think, from that team moving forward. And, you know, what that means, obviously, to be determined, but I guess that's where Linder will drive his stock up or maybe not.
And I do think the NIL element is, as far as Wyoming basketball, is going to be interesting. I know they were able to get some cash together for those transfers in, you know, those high major guys. But I think going forward, I mean, you know, obviously they're going to support that football program there. Basketball, we've seen it with fan attendance up there, you know, not always getting that arena very full. You know, how much willingness, how much, you know, buy-in, quite literally, is there going to be for that program going forward?
I'm intrigued to see what the crowd is like Saturday. Frankly, I don't necessarily expect it to be very large, but maybe I'll be proven wrong. Maybe, you know, playing CSU will drive, you know, interest up for that one day, but I'm really not sure.
Well, and we were talking about it earlier, too, with Coach Linder earlier in the season, kind of calling out the fans. On a regular, was it a Wednesday night?
Yeah, it was like a midweek game against Southeast Louisiana, which I got his point of, you know, basically if you want us to be a consistently good program, we kind of need consistent support, which isn't a wrong thought. The timing, I think, was curious.
It's hard to say it. Yeah. You know, it is, because you can be thinking it, and you can certainly do your best, but it is hard to just come out and say it.
It rarely looks good or is received well to say, how dare you not spend your money on what I need? Yes. Even though that's, again, that's not kind of how he's thinking, or you know, he's not the first coach to say this type of thing. But it rarely comes off well. I mean, you know, even sees, you know, Joe Parker says that a lot, like, well, we need people in their seats. Like, it doesn't come off well to tell people how they should be spending their time and money.
It's tough too when the in
especially
these areas,
when you're not winning.
Yeah, when you're not winning, it's you're gonna spend some a chunk of change. You know, whether it's parking and the tickets and food or whatever.
Especially Wyoming is unique because a lot of fans are coming from not just down the street,
right?
And obviously, in the basketball season, it can be treacherous.
Yeah. No, there are not many Division I schools out there that have fewer people within a 30-mile radius of campus than Wyoming.
It's tough because I like Jeff Linder. I
think he's a great coach,
But sometimes college coaches do kind of – colleges in general, they kind of get stuck in their campus bubble where it's like, this is our world. Why are you not all supporting this world? And it's like – dude, it's hard sometimes. I mean, we like this game's going to be on FS1. It's going to be nationally televised on Saturday. So will people choose to stay in and watch this game too? There are several options there. I get where he's coming from. If that's what you want, you have to get the fan support behind you. We'll see what happens on Saturday. This should be a game that the Rams should win, right? As we wrap this one up.
Maybe. I mean, it's going to be hard. If CSU plays like they did last night, I think they win. I would expect Wyoming to level up, you know, because they really need a first win. Some of it will depend on who's available. I'm looking at Alex Taylor of the Boomerang. You know, it's kind of TBD on a lot of guys. So I think CSU wins, but it's a tough one.
I agree. I mean, I think they win, but that building up there in Laramie has not been kind to CSU. Always tough to get out of there with wins. So I'm not taking it for granted, but I think they will.
I'm going with you. I think the Rams will get it done. That'll do it for us. Jerry Schimmel coming up next on the other side for the Blue and Gold pregame show. UNC Bears Eastern Washington coming up at 6. That'll do it for us. This has been Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.